Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9 and also chapter 10. We're going to touch on both of these chapters. But before I get into the message, I would like to make an announcement. If you've listened to me any length of time, you know that I do work down in Haiti, missions work down in Haiti. I've been three or four times. I'm beginning to lose count. I've got a trip planned for probably January of next year. I'm not exactly sure. I like to go during the cool months. Probably going to spend 2 or 3 weeks down there. And I'll ask that you pray for the meetings that we have. I'll ask that you pray for God to do a wonderful work down there. Last time I went, we had quite a number of people that responded for a salvation call. But there's a very strong possibility that I will have a chance to visit one of the other places that Haitians have fled to. We understand that they're here in the United States mainly because they fled for political reasons. They fled the persecution of the Duvalier family. And I did not really realize it. When people flee foreign countries, foreign dictators, we always know that they come to the United States. And certainly I'm glad that they do. It never really occurred to me that they would go other places. I know that they're in Miami. I know that they're in Boston. Apparently they're all over the Caribbean and South America, Central America. It didn't really occur to me. Now, I don't want to say too much before I go, but there's a very strong chance that I'm going to go in the next week or so. I've got some business to do in one of these countries. It has to do with computers and technical things and what have you. I'm being sent there by my client, and it's been about a month and a half that we've been working toward it, and it looks like that the trip is a go. And in preparing, I said, "Oh, I'm going to go to this country. Let me get on the internet and see what I can find about it." And lo and behold, it turns out that there are tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands of Haitians that are living in parts of this country. I didn't know that. Now, I'm an evangelist. I'll preach anywhere, anytime, any place that the pulpits would open to me. I've got a couple of letters of introduction that pastors have written me. I've preached in their churches, whatever, and they've recommended me. And I'm going to go down to this country armed with my letters of introduction. And we're going to work during the day on computers and what have you. But in the evenings and on Sundays or whatever, we'd like to be able to preach in some of these churches. So I'll ask that you pray for me. I'll ask that you pray that God would open these doors. And again, and if you've listened, I guess a couple of weeks ago, I played the broadcast from one of the services in Haiti. And you understand that these people are very responsive. They're very hungry for the gospel. And you've listened to me preach. You know that God uses me in that regard. Please pray for these people, that they would receive what the Lord has. I do ask and beg, really, and strongly request that you pray for these meetings. Like I said, I won't go into very much detail. When I come back, I hope to have some recordings of some of the sermons that we'll be preaching there, and I'll try my best to get them on the radio so you can be a part of the service. But let's go ahead and get into the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9. And obviously this is Jesus talking here. He says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word and as we attempt to read it, understand it, explain it, what have you, Lord, give us understanding. Lord, your light, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. Show us the way we should go. Lord, show us how to better follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, illuminate your word in our heart. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been saying the last couple of programs that the book of Luke, as contrasted with Matthew, Mark, and John, the book of Luke portrays Christ as a man, obviously God come down to earth and took the form of a man. But he went around preaching, teaching, healing the sick, whatever, performing whatever miracles, but he did so not as God. Now, he never stopped being God, and we've said this, we've been through this, and we've given Old Testament background for this. He never stopped being God, but he lived as a man, and he healed the sick as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When he preached the gospel and men were cut to their heart and knew that God was speaking, it was the Holy Spirit that was touching their hearts. And we'll read in chapter 9, here in chapter 10, that he sent disciples out, and they did the same thing that he did. Now, they obviously, men, have nothing to do with being God, but the same Spirit that he had, he gave to them, the same authority, and we'll get into that, the same authority he had, he gave to them, and said, go in my name and do the things that I do. They had the same effect, the same power to preach, the same power to heal the sick, cast out devils, what have you. You read in the book of Acts about the great miracles that the apostles did, the great messages that they preached. And so it is today that as we trust the Lord, as we depend on Him, and as we believe the Bible, and not find ways to explain it away or express doubt or may come up with excuses or make allowances and say, well, that was the time of the Bible, those miracles have gone away and what have you. If we believe God, then God will do the same things through us. Now, you know that I'm a Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. And I want to say that again. I speak in tongues. If you had any question about who I was, I'm a Pentecostal. But I'm here to tell you that the mark of Pentecostalism is not, oh, those guys over there, they speak in tongues. That's not it. If that's your impression or your understanding of the Pentecostal message, then you're mistaken, or what have you. Somebody's told you wrong, or you're ignorant of the facts, or what have you. Yes, we speak in tongues. Paul said, and I can stand with him, and I can say that I speak in tongues more than you most. But the gospel was intended to be preached in power. It was intended to be preached with the help of the Spirit. Paul didn't come in his own wisdom and with worldly and humanistic ideas and thoughts, but he came in the power of God. He came meekly, it says. He was a lion in his letters, but when he was on sight, when he was in the churches, he was like a lamb. He was a meek man. But when he preached, God the Holy Spirit helped him, enabled him, gave him the power of God, the anointing of God that rested upon him. And as we know, he turned the world upside down. And obviously we can read the book of Acts and other places, and we can see the miracles that Paul and the other apostles did. But they did not do so in their own power. It's not possible that a man in his own power, with his own persuasive abilities, would have you can do the things that the apostles did. But it says here in chapter 9, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now we are Christ's ambassadors. We know that Jesus was here on the earth 3.5 years. He went back to heaven. Then he sent his Spirit. And his Spirit enables us to preach the gospel. And we beseech you in Christ's stead, as the man said, be ye reconciled to God. We present Christ, but we do so hopefully. And certainly I pray that I would do this. Hopefully we preach the gospel with God's help, with the help of the Spirit and under the anointing of the Spirit of God. But these two words, power and authority, they mean power and authority. The Greek word for power is dunamis, and it's the same root word where we get our English word dynamite. And obviously, if you look at some of the things that Christ and the apostles did, and also some of the things in the Old Testament, when Elijah or whatever would perform some miracle, there was a supernatural power. If it was to make an axe head float on water, or if it was to make the Son of God walk on water, or what have you, or any miracle or great thing that happened, these are supernatural events. By definition, a man cannot perform supernatural events unless he has the power of God. But the power, dunamis, and authority, the Greek word is exousia, and they basically mean exactly that, the power and the authority. You can have power but not authority, or you can have authority but maybe not power, I don't know. But these two words go together. We are specifically commissioned, and I've been over this a few programs ago. God sent his Son with a mission to save souls. And then we have the co-mission. We're co-laborers with Christ. And it's our duty to go into the world and preach the gospel. And obviously I'm referencing Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That verse also talks about the power that we would receive to perform these tasks. It's nothing special. We're nothing special. There's nothing great or wonderful about Pentecostals or the Pentecostal message. Because if you read through the Bible, through the Gospels, and you listen to me, the message is that we deny self, that we forsake self, that we take up our cross, and that we say, Lord, not our will, but thine. I'm going to go, have been, and will go again to Haiti. I've been to places that there are very few white men that ever go. There are no wheeled vehicles bigger than, let's say, a motorcycle or ATV or something. You have to walk there. You drink water that's unclean, that's really not fit to be drunk. You eat food that's questionable at best. You'll come to a place, in some places you'll find some street food out in the middle of nowhere, on a road in the middle of nowhere. There are no villages, and all of a sudden there's a little village, and there's a guy sitting out by a little table, and there's some food. You don't know when it was cooked. You don't know if the animal was diseased. You really don't know. But that's all there is to eat, and so you eat it in faith. I've gone, and as I mentioned perhaps last week or the time before, that I got very sick one time. I thought I was going to die. I ended up eating something that was not good for me, and I laid on my bed and screaming in pain for 2 days until somebody had given me some kind of antibiotic and took care of it. So I understand about going places where I really don't want to go. Now, when God says, I want you to go preach the gospel, in my heart, I jump for joy, I leap, and I'm all gung-ho. But you get over there and you realize that there's a lot of suffering and there's a lot of forsaking of self. And I don't get to do what I want. I don't get to go where I want. I don't get to eat the kind of food that I want. I don't get to come home exactly when I want. So, yes, we believe God for the power to preach. We believe God to, if he would be merciful, to heal the sick. But we also understand our responsibility that it's not about us. It's not about politics. It's not about pride. It's not about position. So when Christ gives his authority, we don't go in our own authority. And yes, I had a point to that. We don't go in our own authority. We go in his authority. We're sent by him, we're commissioned and charged by him to go and to preach. But then we also have, it says, and he gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases, and to preach the kingdom of God. So all of the things that you read in the Bible, all of the miracles, all of the wonderful things, And there are external miracles, obviously. When Moses parted the Red Sea, that's a wonderful, great physical miracle. But when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, who had five husbands, was shacking up with number six, and reached into her heart and was able to change her heart and change her life, and we read just a few verses after that, she left her water pot, went into the city and began to preach the gospel and say, hey, look, I met a man. Come see this man. And she presented Jesus Christ to them. That, to me, is a greater miracle than to raise the dead. As wonderful if it would be that we would hear that the dead, somebody died last week and next thing you know, they're alive again. That would be wonderful. That would be all over the news, on TV, whatever. CNN would come down and interview and whatever. As wonderful as that would be, a greater miracle is to reach into the heart of someone and to minister to them, to encourage them, to show kindness to them. That, to me, is a greater miracle. So what it means to be a Pentecostal to me, yes, we do these great miracles at times. But that, I think, is secondary. The most important thing is to preach the message of hope, the message of salvation to people, and then their lives, hopefully, will be changed. But if you look at verse, I guess, where did they come back? I guess verse 10, and the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. Now, it doesn't really go into much detail, but they came back and they told what they did and what have you. But let's flip over the next chapter, verse 10. And after these things, and obviously he had done a few things before, in between, I guess. But after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, not the 12 apostles, but some other guys, 70 people apparently, that were not quite in the inner circle, but they were also disciples that followed the Lord. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Now notice what it says. Christ is going to go there, but he sent them before him so that they would preach the gospel. I think this is a picture of what our job is, to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature before Jesus comes back. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And again, To be Pentecostal is to be concerned about the Great Commission. To go as far as we can go, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, it says in one place. And to do so, understanding that Christ is with us. And if need be, he can heal the sick. If need be, and certainly we need him, he can touch the hearts of the most hardened sinner. Now this is interesting, and I'll quickly go through it. Go your way in verse 3. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man in the way. You need to be about your Father's business. Don't be distracted. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Now this peace thing, that has to do with the presence of Jesus Christ. That has to do with he's the Prince of Peace, but it's the Spirit that went with him. Remember, Christ was back in Galilee or wherever he was, but he sent the 70 out ahead of himself, and his Spirit went with them. He gave them power and authority, it says in the previous chapter, to go do the works of Christ, to go and be as Christ to that person, to be an ambassador in whatever towns they went to. And this peace has to do with the Spirit of God. And if the Son of Peace be there, if they will receive the message, your peace shall rest on it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In other words, don't cast your feet. You don't cast your pearls before swine, it says. In another place it says, shake off the dust of your feet of that city, because they haven't received you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give thee. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now this talks about if you go to preach the gospel, you can depend that God will give you provisions. I think too often we make too big of a deal about missions boards and all of these things. Certainly we need missions boards. Certainly we need to raise funds. But I think too often too great of an importance is placed on all of these monetary considerations. We should be concerned about, Lord, when I get there, help me to win souls. And it says, go not from house to house. And in verse 8, into whatsoever city you enter, there you receive you. Eat such things as are set before you. In verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. Part of his charge, just as in the previous chapter when he sent the 12, part of the charge is to heal the sick. Now, I can't heal anyone. I don't have that power. But the Holy Spirit has that power. And at times I have prayed for people, and God has mercifully healed them. Again, I don't have that power. I can't heal the sick. But I'm given the power and the authority and the charge to do the works of Christ. He said in another place that after he leaves that and the Spirit comes, that greater works shall we do, because Christ said he's going to his Father. And that's in the book of John. Now let's briefly turn to the book of Numbers, and I'd like to show you something from the Old Testament that foreshadows what we've just been reading. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70, the same number that we just read, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and the officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Obviously, Moses is a picture of Christ. The 70 elders are a picture of the 70 disciples that Christ sent out in Luke chapter 10. And we said this is a type. And a type, one of the definitions of a type, is something that in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New Testament. And he says in verse 17, and I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And it says that they did that, and they prophesied, and what have you. But notice this. He said, call, Moses, call 70 of the elders, I will come and talk with you, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon thee, up upon them, just as Christ, he gave them power and authority over all devils and to heal diseases. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. Just like the 70 did, they went to prepare the way of Christ before he got to those towns. They were co-laborers in the ministry. They helped him to win the lost. And it says, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And that, I believe, says that Christ is the Savior, but he cannot save souls alone. He needs, how can they hear without a preacher, it says. God chooses to use us as co-laborers with Christ to win the lost before that great and notable day comes. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.